Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. How deeply, deeply, deeply grateful I am you chose to be with me on this beautiful 19th day of January 2019. We're going to look at loving ourselves. I get a lot of questions about this, and it seems that this is on the minds of a lot of people. Did a little survey with people and found out that one of the things they want to know about is how to love themselves. I did a whole series on this. In fact, a lot of my series are on this, but one of the most powerful ones I did was the one, Nobody Likes You Anyway. And I would highly recommend you taking the time to watch that on the website at aspire.org. It will help you. So we're going to take a look at that. Please remember that these radio programs are supported solely and entirely upon your tax-deductible gift. It is only through your contributions that we are able to sustain our radio program, keep it on the air, and I hope that you will consider being a sponsor and helping us, because this is the only way, I mean the only way, we are able to keep the radio program going. It's very, very important. If you're interested in becoming a sponsor and want to know a little bit maybe more about it and what you get for your sponsorship, and I take very good care of my sponsors. You get not only the message of the month each and every month, you also get the commentaries, podcast, video cast twice a month, and you have access to all of my TV discourses that I did over the years. They're on the website. They're yours for free. You can download them and do anything you like with them. They're there for you. They're yours as my gift, my way of saying thank you for allowing me to serve humankind in this way. And that's what this is about, serving humankind. Okay, let's talk a little bit about loving ourselves. What does that mean? What does it mean for you and for me to love ourselves? Is it to have adoration for ourselves, affection for ourselves? Is it an excuse for us to merely aggrandize ourselves with all sorts of, little favors we like to do, little gratifications for ourselves? For the most part, that is what people think of. They want to change their thinking about themselves, and they don't feel very good about themselves, and they don't understand why. Now, I'm going to tell you why right off the bat, but I'm going to first go into the questions, and then we'll work on that. First one comes from John. He does not tell me where he lives. How do I love myself, John says. What is the reason for me not loving myself, John? Well, first of all, John, one must understand, it is all based in the chemicals running around in our bodies. It's our genetics. And it is only in our genetics that we find why we do not love ourselves. The chemicals that you inherited in the body you inhabit have turned into a certain pattern, a certain genetic pattern that you are living in. And living in this genetic pattern, you will find contempt for not only yourself, for other people. Our behaviors, our modifications of our behaviors and how far we can go with those are all genetically oriented. And it's all about chemicals. And the whole idea of what we go through as individuals with our chemicals and our bodies is a whole nother story. And there are many books out there on it. Behave is the best book I've ever read on the subject. I'm sorry. And it is more than worth the read. It is an interesting thing about the way our body works and the way our heads work. We don't want to see why we are having difficulty loving ourselves. And I'm not even sure I understand what you mean by loving yourself. You're not sitting here, so I can't ask you these questions, though I wish I could. What do you mean about loving yourself? What would loving yourself be? we all have to ask ourselves this question: what would it mean for me to love myself? Now, I think it has a lot to do with the whole idea of not hearing those messages that we hear in our head that maybe tell us we're ugly or old or not good enough or stupid or whatever it is you like to hear in your brain. Those are all messages that were implanted in you socially, in your family, as well as in your genetic disposition. You're not going to change those things. Those things are not going to go away. They're going to stay. They're going to do their thing. And when they do, it is going to be, something you have to deal with on your own, in your own way. You're going to have to either do one of two things, and I'll tell you how to do it. You can't give yourself all of this emotionality and give your life to all this emotionality that you and I suffer from that we don't realize we're suffering from. That's the truth. It is only in my emotionality, how I genetically look at myself from the point of view of my parents and what they taught me and what they believed and what they're all about. My genetics are no better than theirs, and then my thinking about myself is no better than them. And this goes on and on and on. This self-hatred thing is kind of passed down through genetic dispositions over and over and over again. So the understanding of what can't change is a very important thing in the process of your awakening. The human will always find fault with itself. The human will never be happy with itself. Not never. Oh, you can have brief moments of pride, you know, where you did something well, maybe, and you're very proud of yourself. But how long does that last? And what happens with that? We see this arrogance build in people as movie stars and such. And they get this aggrandizement of themselves. They get adorations for their skill, their art. And then before you know it, that's the only thing they have going in their life. And they start to get, narcissistic and just basically impossible to live with. So you can kind of see these things as the treachery of the emotionality. Now, you got to ask yourself, am I going to dip my life into this pool, this cesspool that I see here with all these people inside my body that are telling me, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that? Is that as far as it's going to go? Or am I going to do something different? Am I going to do something transcending? Now, the key, the very key, John, is if you can't beat it, which you can't, transcend it. And that is something totally different from anything you've probably ever been taught or told to do in your life. Transcendence is to move beyond the thinking, beyond the emotionality that causes the thinking, and to begin to have little doubts about how your brain is operating, what you call affection, what you call love, to doubt all of that, just to look at it and go, well, wait a minute, what do I call love? What is it that I think love is? What is it I'm involved in here? Once you start to understand that, once that becomes a premise in your life and you really start to understand that, that is when you're going to find you can transcend. You can live a different life. It means, now listen to me, John. You don't believe me now, but trust me, it's true. You must drop your emotionality. Nothing you do, nothing you think, say, or do is ever going to be enough for everybody. Nobody likes you anyway. go take a look at that series I did. It will help you. No matter what you do, no matter what you think, no matter what you want, no matter what you believe, there'll always be people out there throwing stones at you for whatever accomplishment you have made. I remember when I won my first Emmy, and I thought, you know, this is a very important thing. I worked really hard to do this. I went way beyond whatever it is that old Gregory can do. And I really thought that, you know, this was going to be something important in my life and just prove my place. Well, come to find out, I was wrong. All wrong. First of all, my colleagues shunned me for it and said I wasn't teaching the common line. I wasn't towing the predatory common line of religion that they are involved in. And my critics all said, well, can you do it again? And you know what? When I did it again, and I won a telly even, that didn't change a thing either. Once people have it in their minds that they're not going to like you, they're not going to like you. So listen to me, John, and listen well. You can't be living your life for what other people think of you. And a lot of our self-hatred comes from what we think of as the opinions of others and what they think of us. And if you live that way, if you live in that kind of idea, you will miss your entire life. You will waste it. To thy own self be true, did Socrates say. And if you go again on the website at aspire.org and take a look at the series, A Life Worth Living, you will understand exactly what I'm talking about. Go take a look. Know thyself. John, the human mind is a latrine. And you have to understand that it's usually used to gratify. When a human mind is used to gratify, it also does a lot of other ugly things in the background and causes a great deal of pain and sorrow. Don't be subservient to it. I say to you, John, transcend, transcend, transcend. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next question from Henry in Colorado. If I love me, will I become egotistical? I'm so afraid of that, Henry. You know, Henry, you're a very thoughtful person. You must be. That is a very, I don't think in my career, my 46 years of being a teacher, have I ever heard anybody be so thoughtful. That is a very interesting question. And I admired it. The minute I read it, I admired it. If I love me, will I become egotistical? Well, it depends. Are you going to love you from the ego, for the ego, for the sake of the ego? The ego is the negotiator between my unconscious mind and my world, my conscious mind. And it negotiates from the unconscious mind all of the, forgive me, crap that is stored in my unconscious. And that includes my body memory as well. And it tries to negotiate what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad. And pretty soon, if you're not careful, this negotiator becomes the identity of us. Pretty soon, I start thinking that I am those things. And I start to live as those things, those negotiations and conclusions and biases. And if you live in those bias and conclusions, you're going to find inside yourself a tremendous miss. To love yourself, you can't, the self cannot love the self. It can't. And, you know, people will appease you and say, well, do things that make you love you, make you feel luxurious, girly things, all girly things. Guys will say, I need to go out and hunt and kill me a deer or something, you know, ding. You cannot appease the ego without succumbing to the ego. There is nothing in the outer world you can do to make yourself feel better. It will only put a Band-Aid on it, and it will only make you more and more desiring. And desiring, as the Buddha said, is the greatest cause for misunderstanding of this lifetime. So if you want to go and misunderstand your entire life, you want to misunderstand why you are here, to become, let's say, a deluge of egotistical desires, ambitions, prides, all sorts of things, you can call that love, self-love, but I wouldn't. To me, it's all about becoming humble. It is the opposite. Henry, the more humble you get, the more you're willing to take the lesser seat at the table of life, the more you are willing to be nothing for culture and society, useless to culture and society, and more useful towards the heart, the more you're going to find humility is very, very important. Humility is the method of you first, then me. You come first, then me. In society, in this society, it is me first, and let's see if you can catch up to me. But not in the spiritual realm. If you're going to transcend, which is the only way to live your life in accordance with the heart, the authentic heart, you're going to have to look at your life from another perspective, another point of view. You're going to have to look at your heart. People don't love, not because they have just no love in their heart. The reason they have no love in their heart, the majority of people in this world, is because they're not humble. They would not give you the shirt off their back. They would not do everything they could to make love possible. They would do reasonable giving, is what I call it. It's reasonable to their ego. It's reasonable to their pride. How do you forgive somebody? Let's say somebody has done something, Henry, that is very painful to you. Where do you find the forgiveness for it? You find reason to forgive them. And then reasonableness. You look at your relationship. If it's your parents or your family, well, you know, you got to give them leeway because they are your family. That's the reason. But you wouldn't give a stranger that reason, that same kind of empathy. The key to it all is, will I let love be first in my life? Not pride, not dignity, not self-righteousness, but will I let love? Love is very humbling, very, very humbling. It brings me to my metaphoric knees, as it were. It shows me the way, the truth, and the light of what I have become, where I am in this world, and what has happened to me. So look at it for a moment. What has happened to you? Where did you lose your sense of compassion, kindness, love? I will guarantee you it had something to do with pride, dignity. I guarantee you it had something to do with what was reasonable to your ego. You won't become narcissistic if you fall in love with love. If you fall in love with yourself, you will become narcissistic. You will become ugly. You will. Because the ego will take over, and it will aggrandize itself inside of you, and you will find it very difficult to escape that ego. It will just go on and on and on within you. But if you are in authentic love, the love of your authentic heart, and you're willing to let love live you without reservation, the feel of love, not the emotion that your body feels that thinks it's love, but the real feel of love. If you can let that love live you, something of the other shore will show up within you. I guarantee it. And it will change the way you live your entire life. Nothing will be the same again. Henry, your question smacks of humility, the concern for it. And that, my friend, is a very important element in your life. You are a very thoughtful person. You must be a very unique person, because most people do not ask this kind of question at all, nor do they care what the answer is going to be. But I say to you, you have the makings for love. You do. Authentic love. Few people give themselves over to this. So I commend you. I bow to you. How humbly. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. This is from Susan. She does not tell me where she lives. Self-love means I will be happy and loved by people. So if I do achieve this, will everyone love me, Susan? No, Susan. First of all, you can't love you. And number two, you have to understand something, and this is very important. Your desire to be loved, your desire for the whole thing, is nothing more and nothing less than your DNA. You're in your feminine DNA, you are looking for reassurance that you will survive. And because you're looking for that kind of reassurance for survival and survival alone, you want everyone to love you and tell you your poop don't stink. No, not every, but you're not going to use this as a getaway card, a 007 license to kill card. It just isn't going to work. You have to begin to understand, we don't do inner work to get outer results. We do inner work to transcend the outer, to transcend the ego, to transcend our pride, our vanity, and our nuttiness. That's why we do it. We don't do it to get what we want. It isn't some method we use to find a way to get people to like us. Nobody likes you anyway. Go look at my series. Over and over and over, I tell people this. I have covered every spiritual base there is through my TV programs on the Aspire website. They're all there. Now, they're not going to pleasure you. They're not going to be something you've heard before or want to hear, but nonetheless, they are the way, the truth, and the light of your heart. And deep within you, you know these things to be true. So rather than just doing this thing you do of wanting people to love you and trying to maybe orchestrate a new you so people will like you, is really the motivation of someone who is very insecure. People in general are insecure. We all are. Our human is very insecure. My human is insecure. Everybody's human is insecure. We deal with it by transcending it. You don't live in it. You transcend it by no longer engaging in the emotions that keep you caught in a world within yourself that does not sustain compassion and love. It's really just that simple. But most people miss all of this because they're so busy trying to be liked by others without having to do the inner work. Life is about inner work. You want love, it's inner work. You know, the hate and the fear that we have, that we live by, that made us so insecure was inner work. You did that inner work, but you did it from your genetic nature. Now you have to start working it from love inside you, the state of an authentic love that does live within you as you. You are the love you seek. And many people just don't get that. You are the love you seek. That's all I can say to you. Susan, use your life well, use your practice well, use your living well. Use it to develop, to transcend, and to become whole. Whole in the heart. I'm out of here. Thank you, Susan, for your beautiful question. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back on the air tomorrow. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.